U.S. Holy News Covenant Ministry.
Brother Roger is going to share something with us this morning, and so I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to turn the podium over to him. I'm going to take his spot.
Yeah, everyone be seated. I've got a stool out in the car. I hope I don't need it. I am stood up for any extended period of time in several months now. Driving over here, I thought, kind of relived when Sue and I moved out here 9 years ago. Doesn't seem like it. But right at 9 years ago, and it's gotten even more beautiful, I think. The beautiful day we're having here today. I do have a message, and I think I can make it go longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
when Josh asked me to bring a message, I have to confess I felt a little anxious about it. And Yahweh says, be anxious for nothing. And this is when I turned to the Bible to confirm what Yahweh said. And there's a lot said about this subject. Bringing this message is a chance for me to exercise, as Josh mentioned in his last sermon, my faith in the defense of the gospel. I hope you forgive me this morning because I'm reading from a New King James.
Oh, my goodness.
Those things which I read today. So it shouldn't be too much of a shock. But first of all, I'd like to say that it's a privilege to bring a message on this day of the new moon. The day of the new moon. This is the first day of the month, and I don't think there's anybody in this room who doesn't know that. It's why that the first Sabbath day is on the eighth day. Start your count on the new moon, the day of the new moon. It's the beginning of the month. Last month, our Sabbath was on Thursday, and since the new moon occurs on Saturday, Yah's Sabbath will be on Saturday for the next 4 weeks. And there might even be someone on the phone right now listening in who doesn't know that. So I say that for their benefit. The first topic I wanted to come up and bring out to you has to do with this person has been had been observing the Yahweh's calendar for 20 years. Moved into with friends that invited her to live on their property, and way less than a year, we finally she told us that she was now observing Saturday as the day of worship, and had all these arguments that they used and she would have talked against in times past. And that was kind of a sad day, and it made me stop and think about some things. We even tried a little bit to convince her, you know better than that. Oh, no, it says this here. We've been lied to. We've inherited so many lies. And and so this is what you run into when you get yourself away. My suggestion would be that if you are doing something like what we're doing, I wouldn't spend too much time of hanging around non-believers, because you're going to find out it's hard. You'll get beaten down, and you'll feel like you're not doing things right. Amazing how you know you've been doing things right for 20 years, and then all of a sudden, oh, I don't think I've been doing things right, and I'm going this direction now. So we were saddened by that. And I use this as an opportunity to look at some things here. It automatically kind of caused me to look inward. What am I supposed to be doing as a follower of an awesome God like we have? And I go to 1 Timothy 3:15. Believing, so important. 1 Timothy 3:16. We'll read about 5 or 6 verses here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that's Yahweh, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's just the way it's happening right now. So I'm looking here at something that what we are supposed to do. In verse 1 of chapter 4, we continue on with the same thought that the apostle didn't put chapters and verses in these letters that he wrote. But chapter 4, verse 1 says, I charge you therefore before Yahweh God and the Lord Yeshua the Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready. And there's the thing I would zero in on it, is to be ready in season and out of season. And that's what we really need to take a look at is, are we ready? Could we even convince someone of why we do the things that we do? Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come, I'm sad to say, they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. I've noticed that. What did you think about the flat earth? And say, not much. that's something that caused the red flag to go up, and it just sort of kept going. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. We have a ministry. Some of us, maybe not a very big one, but I think it's a ministry. When you just kind of go to the grocery store and you're interacting with other people. Even had a fella come back by the house, came out and gave us a ride on his horse, and he came another time and he says, you and your wife are Christian, aren't you? We said, yeah. So I told my sister, I said, those people are Christian. And we never mentioned a word about it, and that's nice. It was nice to hear that. And I think that's how we witness to people, maybe without even opening our mouths. Let's back up a little bit here to 2 Timothy, same book, chapter 2 and verse 15. See what it says here. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker. And about everybody in here makes a living with their hands. I did for many years in a little different, in a pretty different capacity, but still working with your hands. Rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. That's very sad, and we've all seen that out of people. It's so important that we just have. My wife is great at helping me. She keeps me on the straight and narrow. If I'm doing something that being too accepting. Someone without saying something to someone, you've got to say these things to the children. Say it to your son. I talk to my children like, I know you do, but I guess I do it a little differently than, but I'm not as I'm not saying be terribly aggressive, but you do need to bring these things up. You don't want to at least let them think that you think in a way that is you now consider to be unacceptable. So I think that the thing that I came after going through the phases, transitioning from a little bit of anxiety and then being positive because I knew I was going to have to do it. I knew I was going to have to get ready, so I procrastinated. So I still learned how to procrastinate extremely well. But and when you get down to the day before, there's no more room for that kind of thing. You've got to go with it. And that's why I appreciate so much when someone, Josh, for instance, who gives a message every week, sometimes there's two in one week, and that just doesn't just happen. It requires a lot of study. And I came to the realization that I need to study more. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to do the things that others can do in quoting scripture, but I know what the Bible says. I just can't take you to it without checking and or asking someone a lot of times. But I wanted to bring up these points right here because I think I benefited more, even though I was started out thinking with an attitude of criticalness. Is that a word? An attitude of being critical about this person. Really, it sort of turned inward on myself. Am I a workman, a craftsman who is not ashamed of what he has? How is my knowledge? How does my knowledge of the Bible stack up? And when you have these things in your mind, you want to strive for them. When you go into town, you kind of carry that with you. That's you. That's you going there. Your head up, not like you're someone who's been defeated. We've not been defeated. We've been rescued. He's rescued the perishing. And speaking of going to town, I get the newspaper, and after taking the newspaper for quite a few weeks, I found that the thing that I really seem to gravitate to is the comic strips. At least that's something you can, I can understand that better. When I read what is in the newspaper, I think, good grief, this is just not. Are we getting the truth anywhere? And it's sad to hear a Christian say, well, you just don't know where to go to find the truth. Well, we all in here know where to go to find what is really the truth. And I'm just going to read you. I have a copy of this Fort Fairfield Journal. It is a newspaper made of paper, real high quality paper. And it's a local newspaper, but they bring in a lot of national things. And one thing under the title of News in Brief. Most of what you're seeing on the U.S. network television news about the Ukraine situation is war propaganda being designed by news consultants who work for the companies that profit from the sales of supplies to the military. Sad commentary. Even from what's supposed to be the right, the conservative side, Fox to CNN, none are objective. And even alternative media and social media is not really objective. Most of the purported Ukraine, this is hard to believe, but I think it could happen. They'll try anything. Most of the purported Ukraine videos on social media are either from skirmishes of several years ago, and some are even from modern virtual reality video games. You know, and people are getting upset. They're getting anxious. Seeing all this destruction, and do we really know it's even happened? Because when you have a war, the first casualty in a war is the truth. And as for television networks in the U.S., don't waste your time listening to them. We have all found them to be untrustworthy news sources for this COVID-19, for instance. And the war propaganda is their historic specialty. I just thought I would read that in there because that's what we're, as Christians in the world that we live in, this is the kind of thing that we are having to deal with. We have people that don't know us from Adam who are dictating to us how we should live. And I heard this morning a statement on how they, a representative of the UN was telling the audience that they're going to, this new currency that we're going to have will be so much easier. We'll be able to keep track of everything and to give the people a better chance at a good life. So we'll know everything that you're doing, essentially what they're saying. We don't want that. That's what I think we're going to get if a revolution doesn't happen. It's something else. Yahweh says to be anxious for nothing. I read an article. I was going to bring it, but it's almost, I don't even like to say some of these words in front of children. Really not even with adults. But Marietta College is having a nationally famous transvestite coming in to involved in an entertainment. They have, it seems like the whole group is set up like that. So we can thank them for, because I never would have thought to do that. I mean, you make you think, well, I'm glad other people are thinking and looking out for us to bring all the immorality in that they can. But I think that was supposed to occur this weekend. And I've had the newspaper folded ready to bring it in, but I don't think that would have been, I'll probably have said more than I should have. But I'll go back to Yahweh says to be anxious for nothing. Regarding anxiety and anxious, a couple of verses that I looked up, and Christian and I were talking last night, and he says, is there anybody who doesn't get anxious? And I agreed. I don't think there is anybody that doesn't get anxious. The key to it all is to not let the anxiety go to seed, you might say, and manipulate. It can manipulate your whole life and make you powerless. And I thought about it in the psalm that says, the poor soul says, can't go outside. There's a lion in the street, you know, and you'll never get anything done worrying about this thing and then the other. But John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Anxiety, anxiousness, and fear, they're all close relatives there. And we all have known people who are just always afraid, always walking around looking like they've been defeated and just afraid to try anything. And Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on Yahweh, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And the righteous to be moved. So I looked up the word moved, and it meant exactly like I thought it would. It meant to waver, to slip, shake, fall, to be fallen and decayed. So we, very much what the reading said this morning, that we need to fully trust in Yahweh. And the next one that I will read is from Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to Yahweh. And the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Yeshua. I almost came up with a title. I still have it. Maybe before I'm finished, I'll come up with a title for what I'm doing. But one of the things is that I thought about is transitions from one condition to the next. We see the words transition used in, I think there might even be a plumbing or a furnace duct called, it's like a transition where things come off of it. The heat to the various rooms. You're always in the process, it seems, of making transitions. And here's the thing that you're all experiencing. You're just not experiencing an advance in age like where I am. But as you advance in years, your ceiling becomes lower, which is normal. But it doesn't feel normal. You just can't do what you used to be able to do. And this can be a source of your anxiety when reality rears its ugly head. You think, well, I am in my eighth decade of life. Thank you, Dan Miller. It was terrible and a blessing all at the same time. I had a terrible experience this summer where I got in the bathtub and thought I would get out like I normally do, but I could not get myself out. I had to call the rescue squad to come and get me, to help me out of the tub. And that was reality. I got an uppercut from reality that night. And I've come a long way since then. There are still things I haven't done. Like today I drove over here, but I had a partner with me in the car. Because I get something that you just do all the time. And now you stay away from it and you have a little bit of anxiety over it. So I'm feeling more comfortable doing that. I was glad when Christian said last night that he was wanted to come to the service this morning. I didn't want to come out and ask him if he would go with me because I didn't want him to feel guilty about going to see his father. So he came and that relieved me a great deal. I mentioned Chris's dad, Rick. We're just really grateful that Rick has come back, is coming back. We hope he just continues on getting better. So you become able to, as our friend Daryl down the road says, improvise, adapt, and overcome. I got sort of tired of hearing him say that, but it becomes a reality when you reach a certain point. You don't want the feeling of anxiety to just take a front row seat in your mind. That which has a front row seat in your mind seems like everything is kind of run through that and alters your thinking. You want to do things that don't alter our thinking. You should be able to turn to these two chapters right here. Over in Psalms, chapter 127 and 128, this is not really, doesn't extend on the idea of anxiety and worry, but it just kind of tells you what we have observed out here. And what I did when I was making out this little presentation here, I actually came up with about four different topics. They're all like beginning topics of a sermon. So what I have is four beginnings, and I'll try to tie them all together. But one thing, I'll tie them together with scriptures. And I really love the one here. We have two of them. Psalms 127. Unless Yahweh builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless Yahweh guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. And I had one of those beloved sleeps last night, and behold, children are a heritage from Yahweh. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a quiver, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. When I was young and didn't think I could afford to have children, I thought, oh gosh, this is awful. I mean, what a terrible attitude that was. And I wasn't the only one who thought like that. But I look back, and Sue and I together, we have four. And they're really nice young people. But they're lost spiritually. And that is so sad. We came late. We're kind of like the parable of the the vineyard, I guess it is. The man was looking for workers in the morning, and he got paid. The King James, they earned a penny a day. Earned a penny a day. But the New King James says they earned a denarius a day, and that was equivalent to a day's work. And I guarantee it was a hard day's work. The ones that came late, like Susan and I, would be getting paid the same thing as the ones that have been there all the time. That's a pretty good deal. I wouldn't advise that people do it that way, because there's much heartache that goes on with that. Because you find out, I didn't raise my children up this way. Try to be a good example. And you ask them, they would say that we were a good example. But Sue and I have a different attitude to what a good example is nowadays. And that means to bring the children up in a godly manner. We didn't bring them up, I don't think, in an ungodly manner, but we certainly were not concentrating spiritually the way we should. But we pray for them daily that God will remember our children and their loved ones, and our brothers and sisters and their loved ones. But in Psalm 128, blessed is everyone who fears Yahweh, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears Yahweh. Yahweh bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. And it says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. A lot of people don't have any clue about where the food comes from. Instead, they would at least seem like that. You ask them, where does electricity come from? The receptacle here. Their mind doesn't think about going back further, all the lines going here and there, and the food, the beautiful gardens that crop up. You start these plants, get them going early. I see sweet potatoes soaking in water, and those are going to be ready to plant. I didn't know how you did sweet potatoes before. Mm-hmm. But I know now. So it's not something that just happens. It's a laborious task to perform. There is no question about that. These two psalms, I kind of think of how Josh and Daniel and the children all live. And I thought about it. If Yahweh doesn't help build the house, you kind of got a problem. And we're standing inside of a house that I believe that Yahweh helped Josh Bill. And we talk about the fruit of the womb, and I see, you look and see four examples. I see right now, but this little Kathleen is away. So what have I done this morning? A friend of mine who's preached for a lot of years says, when you get ready to preach, tell the people what you're going to talk about, then you tell them. And at the end of it, you tell them what you told them. So I tried to tell some things here that concern me, reality. And I'm able to face reality. I don't want fears to be the thing that manipulates my life or my wife or anybody. Fear is not good. And worry, the Bible says, do not worry about it. So we know not to do that. So I tried to bring out those things, try to give a practical example of a dear friend in the faith that still believes the way we do, at least I think so, in every other respect other than the day of worship. And I just found it hard, especially this person, to find that they had switched over. So they did that. That's their decision. And I ended up using it as a means of my reflecting inwardly about my own self. Am I in a place where if someone came to me and asked me, am I able to tell why we do the things that we do? I have not had a long message planned. I pray that it's something that can, something that you can lift here and maybe even expound upon for yourself. And I brought with me a, a poem. Let me turn it into a song. It's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a very good prayer, I think. And if my voice doesn't fail me, I'm going to sing it. It'd be like a closing prayer. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he bought me with a price. I want no other but you, O Yah. In you my hopes are high. In these troubled times we're in, you're my only guide. I'll follow you to the end with you by my side. The enemy surrounds me, keep me in your fold. Your countenance upon me are until you take me home. You be my commander, I'll be on patrol. And Yahweh, I'm so grateful that you are in control. Command your band of angels to help me in this war. I pray your mercies on me, Lord, from your throne above. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you bought me with a price. I want no other but you, O Yah. In you my hopes are high. Well, that's my closing prayer, and I hope to said a few things that are worth listening to.